It's a terrible place to want to obey God and not obey Him. It's no good. The reality of some places where we might be is some people are like, I want to work it out, but I am so stuck. And we're going to see how we work it out. We're going to see it has to do with the right mindset. It has to do with confessing sin. Because we can get in a rut where we want to, but we don't. And it's a terrible place.
Welcome to this Monday edition of Equipping the Saints. Equipping the Saints is a daily radio outreach from Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina. And our teacher is Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church. Greg, today you get to what many people would consider to be the practical side of the Christian life.
Dave, you're absolutely right. Today, as we continue our short break from Nehemiah, we're going to talk about the practical aspect of faith, and that is obedience. Now, unfortunately, this topic of obedience is not very popular to talk about, but as we're going to see in today's broadcast, obedience is a manifestation of one of the most important elements of our relationship with Jesus. So with that in mind, turn your Bibles to Philippians chapter 2, and we're looking at verses 12 and 13.
Well, thanks, Greg. And if you're new to Equipping the Saints, head over to our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. To learn more about this ministry and our teacher, Pastor Greg Lundstedt, our web address is simply etsradio.org. Now, with today's message, here's our teacher, Greg Lundstedt.
Philippians 2, verse 5, have this attitude in yourselves, which is also in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant, and being made in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Humility and obedience go hand in hand. Pride and disobedience go hand in hand. And so he humbled himself because he was a good God, perfect God, sinless, spotless Lamb of God, and he is our example. But he took on human flesh, and we can have, and we are commanded to have his mindset, his thinking in how he did that. And so here, notice our passage. The context of working it out really speaks of obedience. Look at Philippians 2, 12. So then, my beloved, just as you have always what? Obeyed. There you go. Not as in my presence only, but much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. As you always have, keep doing it. Keep doing it continually, habitually. He's going to talk about it. And so the issue is obedience here. The issue is obeying the Lord. This is what we saw in Nehemiah. The issue is obedience. He's saying that. And notice, this church was an obedient church. They were by and large obeying. We by and large obey, but we still got areas that we are messing up in, right? That God wants to, as we'll see, have us work out in obedience as he works in us. You see, sanctification is completely about obedience. It is completely about obedience in the context of faith. Our Christian life is about obedience. Our Lord came and obeyed the Father to the point of death, even death on the cross. It is about, and there's joy, and there's peace, and there's a tremendous blessing in obeying the Lord. It's not drudgery, as we're going to see. Obedience we have in this mindset, oh, well, it's not fun. I don't lie. It's no fun. Obedience is terrible. That's a lie from the pit of hell. Obedience is where you're going to be the most blessed. And we know that. We know that, practically speaking. When we're sinning, hey, when we're sinning, it isn't very happy, right? But when we're trusting the Lord, there is joy. Think about the Great Commission, you know, which is what's called. I don't think it's really the Great Commission. It's really commissioning his disciples to go out and do this. But the process speaks of what everyone is to do, what everyone's ultimately to do. Go, therefore, Matthew 28:19, and make disciples of the nations. That's the commission to those people he was standing talking to. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That means make sure they're saved. Make sure they're saved. Don't be discipling non-believers, right? And he goes on, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And lo, I am with you even to the end of the age. Teaching them to observe. And Christ is with us. Teaching them. That is sanctification. Learning, being taught to obey God by his power and strength. It's about obedience. We have this statement here back in our passage. So then, my beloved, just as you've always obeyed, not as only my presence, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. So this is what God is doing in salvation. He changes our hearts with the Word of God. It does its work in us. God works in us to change our hearts, and we are to work that out. We're to obey based on a changed heart with a mindset of Christ, as we will say. We're to obey. That's how it is worked out. You might remember Nehemiah 10. The word worked in them, and then they said, hey, we want to obey now. And these are the specific areas. We're blowing it here with the foreigners. We're going to not do that anymore. We're blowing it here with our money and not supporting the body or the temple at that time. We're blowing it there. We're blowing it because we're living where we want to. We're not living where you want us to live. And we see that, and we're going to see that as we continue to go. The reality is. And so they confess that. It's a working out, this reality. You see, there's a lot of scriptures that make it clear we're to obey His word, that the life of a Christian is exemplified by obedience. Take a look at Matthew chapter 7. The Lord Jesus illustrates this. Now, I'm not telling you to run out on your own steam and be some fake, phony Christian, or to get frustrated and give it all up and go sin it up. I'm not telling you to. I'm telling you to trust the Lord, to allow His word to change your heart, that you would then trust Him and step out in obedience in those areas. And there's joy in that. Matthew 7:24. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and what? Acts upon them. My question is, are you acting upon them? That's your salvation being worked out. That's the working out part. Obeying, right? And acts upon them. Maybe compared to a wise man who built his house upon the rock, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and burst against that house, yet it did not fall, for it was founded upon the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act upon them. Now, the term act upon them there in the Greek is poieo. It means to continually habitually do. Just to do. It says, does not act upon them, will be like the foolish man who built his house upon the sand, and the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew, and burst against that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. Now, the reality of some places where we might be is some people are like, I want to work it out, but I am so stuck. And we're going to see how we work it out. We're going to see it has to do with the right mindset. It has to do with confessing sin, because we can get in a rut where we want to, but we don't. And it's a terrible place. It's a terrible place to want to obey God and not obey Him. It's no good. It's no good. But we're going to see from God's word how we can avoid that trap and actually by His strength. James chapter 1, you can turn there, James 1. Going to talk about this idea of doing also. Now, again, this is qualified in the context of a real relationship. In James chapter 2, verse 1, he's going to say, do not hold your faith in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ with an attitude of personal favoritism. It's through faith in Christ that we're able to do what he says. He's going to move on even later on, talk about faith that works, Abraham and Rahab, right? The reality. So it's in the context of trusting. James chapter 1, 21. Therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness, in humility, receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls. You know, God's word is powerful, powerful enough to save you. And sometimes we're not ready to receive it in humility. God says we're to consider others as more important than ourselves, but we're not ready because we're upset at that person. We need to humbly receive it. God says we shouldn't be worrying, but we're not ready because we want to keep control of our circumstances. God says, you know, we should stop lusting in those things. We should put those things off, but we're not ready because we like it. Not good. Not good. We need to, as we will see, humble ourselves and put those things aside. It says, see the word implanted, which is able to save your souls, but prove yourselves doers of the word and not merely hearers who delude themselves. And he's going to talk about the one who abides by the perfect law of liberty. The word is remaining in the heart. It's there. It's staying. It's working. It's working. And as we'll see today, then it works out. But there's an attitude and a demeanor that we need to have towards sin. And if we don't have it, it's not going to work out. You see, we're to be working out our salvation. Simply put, it is obeying. And that's even the point that Paul makes in Romans chapter 6. Let's turn to Romans 6 for a moment. That's the point he makes. Romans chapter 6, verse 15. What then shall we sin that we're not under law but under grace? May it never be. Do you not know that when you present yourselves to someone as slaves for what? Obedience. You are slaves to the one whom you obey, either sin resulting in death or obedience resulting in righteousness. When I offer myself to obey the Lord, the result is righteousness. So then here we see that we need to obey the Lord. But what is it that we obey? Jesus shares in his prayer to the Father in John 17:17, sanctify them in thy truth. Set them apart. Set them apart from sin to your will. Sanctify them in thy truth. Thy word is truth. We are to have the mindset of Christ, which was motivated by a love and a humble obedience. We need to love God, as we'll see. And if you love me, you'll keep my commandments, right? We need to have a love for him rather than a love for ourselves. We need to humble ourselves and see that he's right and we're not right. His ways are better than our ways. His ways are the right ways. And so, just as we have always obeyed, work out your salvation, continually obeying. And then notice, back in our passage, he says, not as in my presence only, but much more in my absence. Work out your salvation. Hey, not just when I'm around. Well, kids know that really well, don't they? Obey mommy and daddy when mommy and daddy are around, but when mommy and daddy are gone, boop, you know. The reality is, Paul's saying, hey, not just when I'm around, but when I'm not around, much more, right? And so then, we see the command to work out our salvation. And what would this working out look like for these Philippians? What might it look like? Chapter 1, verse 27, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel. There's a command. Chapter 2, make Paul's joy complete by being of the same mind. Think like Christ. You want to work out your salvation, obey that. Think like Jesus. Stop letting those thoughts that are contrary to the mind of Christ control your heart. Those selfish thoughts, that's really the key. They are self-centered, self-focused, self-indulged. Think the way Christ thought. He thought about others as more important than himself. They are to do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind regard one another as more important than self. Not merely look out for your own interests, yes you do, but interests of others. Have the mind of Christ. Think like Jesus thought when he took on human flesh. And he humbled himself, becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. The Apostle Paul is not saying, go out and do stuff. But as we're going to see, he is talking about a faith that works, a believing the truth and stepping out in obedience to that truth because you are thinking rightly in the context of a real relationship with your Savior, Jesus Christ. The reality is, faith is going to work. And Paul made this point. He bookends the book of Romans with this point. I'll read it for you. Romans chapter 1, verse 5. I'm not an NIV fan, but the NIV does get it better here. Talks about the obedience that comes from faith. The reality is, through him, this is Romans 1, 5, for his name's sake, we receive grace and apostleship to call the people from among the Gentiles to the obedience that comes from faith, or the obedience of faith, the NASB. Then in chapter 16, at the very end of Romans, now to him who is able to establish you to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery which has been kept for long ages past, but now been manifested, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the eternal God, has been made known to all the nations, leading to obedience of faith. In another version, that we might believe and obey him. God's word brings about faith, and that faith brings about obedience in the very same areas. You can turn to 1 Peter 1. This is not a works message, it's a working out message. So we'll see what God is working in. 1 Peter 1:1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who reside as aliens scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, who are chosen according to the foreknowledge of God, notice this, by the sanctifying work of the Spirit. Later on, he's going to talk about the Word, right? Okay? And the Spirit does that, that you may what? Obey Jesus Christ. That's the goal. The passage basically says, accomplish it. Work out your salvation. Accomplish it. Do it. You know, we understand that when it comes to tasks, we have a list of things. We've got to go do it. Mow the back lawn. Go out and do it. Right? Accomplish it. Do it. Obey the Lord. The hymn writer got it right. And we sang it last week. I wanted to sing it this week too, but we sang it last week. When we walk with the Lord in the light of his word, What a glory he sheds in our way. While we do his good will, he abides with us still and with all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. It's just really true. It's really true. So then, are you willing to recognize the Christian life is centered around obedience to Christ? Now again, that doesn't mean drudgery or a horrible life. It's a wonderful life. There may be some difficult suffering and things that we go through, the sufferings for the glories to follow, but there is joy in the Lord. It's a true reality for every believer. 1 John chapter 2, verse 3, and by this we know we've come to know him if we keep his commandments. Luke chapter 6, 46, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I say? Pretty straightforward question, right? It has to do with obedience. But as we'll see, without a right heart change and a right heart perspective, obedience doesn't come too easily. It's very difficult. We need to have a right perspective. We need to have a right understanding. So then, we certainly see the mandate. We're to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. But notice the manner in which we're to do so. He says here, work out your salvation, notice this, with fear and trembling. This troubled me. I mean, it troubles us at times. Fear and trembling, that doesn't sound like the joyful Christian life. Well, we got to know the context of what this fear and trembling is. It doesn't mean we're fearing and trembling in everything we do. It's a fear and trembling in the context of understanding obedience and disobedience, as we're going to say. Understanding the consequences of those things. Having a right view of when we disobey and a right view of obedience. He says with fear and trembling. The term fear here, phobos, and the term trembling, traumas. We get our word trauma from that, right? One pastor talks about this. He says the word fear had to do with the meaning of flight, which is caused by being scared, or something which causes you to fear. We get our word phobia from it. It's a strong word. He talks about the word tremble. Traumas means to shake in violently with fear, excitement or cold or whatever it might be. The very word graphically portrays the depth of the fear that Paul, inspired by the Spirit, wants us to feel as we work out our salvation or as we obey. Now, what does that mean? What does it mean to work out our salvation with fear and trembling in reference to God? What does that mean? What does it mean to do so? Well, we need to think properly. We need to have a proper view of God as revealed in His Word. We need to recognize a proper view of sin, and we need to think about it rightly. Exodus 20:20 speaks of fear. You can turn there, Exodus 20:20, because there's a difference between being afraid and fearing. It's a difference of being afraid and fearing. But we should, as we'll see in a moment, be traumatized by the thought of disobeying our God. That should traumatize us. You know, we fear about everything else. We're traumatized about this event, this person, that person. We're not traumatized about the thought of actually blatantly disobeying God. Okay, we need to think about that. So Exodus 20, verse 18, this is on Mount Sinai. And all the people perceived the thunder and the lightning and the sound of the trumpet and the mountain smoking. And the people saw it and they trembled and stood at a distance. And they said to Moses, speak to us yourself and we will listen. But let not God speak to us, lest we die. And Moses said to the people, do not be afraid, or do not fear, for God has come in order to test you, in order that the fear of him may remain on you, so that you may not sin. A proper reverencing of God, a proper understanding of who he is and what he has done, will help us not sin. We're not afraid of him. Perfect love casts out fear. This is a reverence, but a holy reverence. In Hebrews chapter 12, the writer speaks of Moses as being full of fear and trembling when he was on the mountain. And I think if you were to experience what they experienced there, you might be a little fearful seeing how powerful our God is, right? You might remember the early response of the church when God disciplined unto death Ananias. Do you remember that? Let's take a look there. Let's look at Acts chapter 5. We just take sin too lightly, brothers and sisters. We do. And we just kind of walk into it and we don't think rightly. In that situation, we're not going to be working it out. We're not going to be obeying. We've got to think of it rightly. Now, this is for us. It's not for us to point to anyone else. So you work it out, you work it out. It's for us to analyze ourselves. This is for us. Acts chapter 5, verse 4, in the middle of it. This is with Ananias and Sapphira. They had sold some land and basically made it look like they were giving all the proceeds to God, but they really held back and had control. It was a deceitful way to get the church to think they were giving, in a sense, for man, but they were lying to the Holy Spirit. He says, "Why is it that you have conceived this deed in your heart?" Acts 5:4 in the middle. "You have not lied to men, but to God." And as he heard these words, Ananias fell down and breathed his last. And great fear came upon those who heard of it. Then look at verse 9. This is talking to his wife. Opportunity to come clean, but she doesn't. "Then Peter said to her, 'Why is it that you have agreed together to put the Spirit of the Lord to the test? Behold, the feet of those who have buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out as well.' And she fell immediately at his feet and breathed her last. And the young men came in and found her dead. And they carried her out and buried her beside her husband. And great fear came upon the whole church and upon all who heard these things." You know, we get away with sin so easily, we don't think of the consequences. There are consequences. There are God discipline. There are consequences in relationships, consequences for other people. But we seem to just go without impunity. We just go and do it. But the reality is, we're sinning against a God who sent his son to pay the full penalty for those sins. It's a very serious thing, and we need to have a different mindset towards it. Think of some of these passages. How about Psalm 4? Let's turn there. Psalm 4, verse 3. "But know that the Lord has set apart the godly man for himself. The Lord hears when I call." Psalm 4, verse 4. "Tremble and do not sin. Meditate in your heart upon your bed and be still, Selah. Offer sacrifices of righteousness and trust in the Lord." Isaiah 66, I'll read this for you. "Thus says the Lord, heaven is my throne, the earth is my footstool. Where is a house that you could build for me? And where is a place that I may rest? For my hand made all these things. Thus all the things came into being, declares the Lord. But to this one I will look, to him who is humble and contrite of spirit, and who trembles at my word."
If you've just joined us, you've been listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. You can hear today's message again by visiting our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message or other messages are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all our audio resources are available at no cost to you, thanks to the Lord's provision through the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free, 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Greg, as we wrap up today's broadcast, what are a couple of things we should remember?
Well, Dave, obedience to God is an indicator that we have a relationship with the living God. And so if you're not walking in obedience, not perfectly, but generally speaking, I pray that you'll examine your heart to see if you truly know the Lord. Indeed, as we saw in today's broadcast, true saving faith should have works produced from a changed heart by the Lord. So with this, I want to leave you with a couple questions. Is your salvation being worked out on a regular basis? Is the result of you being in God's Word manifested in a daily life of obedience to Christ? What motivates you to obey the Lord? And lastly, have you lost a true reverence and healthy fear of God in your life? Well, I pray that this program was both encouraging and sobering, and that God through His Word has motivated you to a further walk of obedience in Christ. Now, we're going to continue our look at this idea of obedience, so stay with us for our next broadcast of Equipping the Saints.
As we close today's broadcast, here's an important message from our teacher, Greg Lundstedt.
Hi, this is Greg Lunstead, and it is my great privilege to study and teach the Word of God and to share it with you each day on this radio station. And as you listen, I want to ask you this question. Has Equipping the Saints been a blessing to you? If so, would you prayerfully consider coming alongside us financially? You see, your financial partnership with us is so appreciated. So on behalf of the team here at Equipping the Saints, we want to praise our Lord and thank you for your prayers and financial support.
Well, thanks, Greg. Now, to partner with us, call us toll-free 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. Or if you prefer to send a gift online, our web address is etsradio.org. Well, we hope you make plans to join us again right here for another edition of Equipping the Saints.